You're listening to the U-Mentor Talk Show, which is now available on the Umoja app. I'm your host, Imran Dharamsi, and on this weekly, almost weekly talk show, we invite professionals and teenagers to take us through their journeys and give us advice. And remember, if you have any questions for our panelists, you can leave them here in the video, or you can reach out to them, or you can leave them on the Inspire app. Now, thanks to today's sponsor for this show. Today's sponsor is Payzly. Payzly is a payment technology service specializing in small to medium-sized businesses in the U.S. They pride themselves on their customer service and out-of-the-box payment acceptance solutions. So visit paisley.com or contact them at 813-565-9999 today. And if you would like to have your business to be featured here on the U-Mentor Talk Show, you can please visit umojaarij.org/donate. And donations are always greatly appreciated because that's how we fund the expenses for the show. Now, before we start with our speaker, we wanted to again mention a bit about the Inspire platform, which I had mentioned earlier. So that's a question and answer platform for career advice in our Shia community. So as a rising professional, you can ask for advice from other professionals. And as a mentor, you can give advice to our community's future professionals. So that is available on the Umoja app for free, of course, with a free account on Android and iOS. So we hope that you will give that a try. Now, let's move on to today's speaker. So today's speaker, very interesting. It's Brother Hussein Jaffer. He is a real estate appraiser analyst and a community activist. So he was born in Queens, New York, but he's lived most of his life in Orlando, Florida. He completed his undergraduate degree from Rollins College. He studied international business, economics, and Spanish. And then he later earned his MBA from Crummer School of Business. So in his professional life, he has worked for a real estate firm, owned his own business, and now he's an appraiser analyst for the county in Florida. He is also involved in activism in the community. So I think that's going to be a big focus of this show. He's led Who is Hussein Orlando, the IEC Academy, ARC Academy, and the Central Board of Education in Orlando. And he's done some amazing things with mentorship programs. So we'll be sure to hear more about that and hear how his professional skills connect to his community work and why we should all endeavor to make that connection. So let's welcome Brother Hussein. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hussein. Thank you for making the time today.
Assalamu alaikum, Ron. Thank you for having me on the U-Mentor Umoja Talk Show.
Of course. So I know I just kind of went through a little bit of the bio, but in your own words, could you just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your path so far?
Sure. So I was born and raised in New York, moved to Florida in 1996, towards the end of 1996. Finished my high school years here at Lake Mary High School, and then went off to college at Rollins College, and then subsequently finished my MBA and started getting out in the workforce. Mm-hmm. Started at a company called CNL. It's a real estate firm. Specifically focusing on real estate securities. After that, once the market sort of dissipated for a while with the market recession in 2008, it was a great time to start a business. So I ran an IT firm specializing in IT hardware along with a partner for about 4.5 years. And then subsequently moved back into real estate, which is where I'm now as an appraiser analyst for Orange County. So at the county, we sort of focus on appraising real estate, but it's not single family residences or individual parcels, it's mass appraisal. So we're valuing real estate, both single family residences and residential condominiums for Orange County. So that's where I'm at right now. And I guess a big part of my life has been, getting involved in serving the community.
Yes, we will definitely go more into that, but just curious. So can you talk about the switch from real estate to founding your own IT company?
Sure. I guess the go with that saying, necessity is a mother invention. Yeah, so I was just, I had finished my MBA and was going out there, and my career path was going to be I was going to get involved in real estate. That was my sort of pathway. When did I get involved? I really, enjoyed valuing real estate, talking about real estate. And so I got an internship with a real estate firm during my MBA, and it turned into a job, and it was great. It was going really well. It was one of those upcoming business units that started a new mutual fund, and then we planned and he plans, and he's the master planner. So the market, real estate market crash in 08 really changed things up a little bit. And made the fund that was a part of it didn't perform so well, so they actually closed down their business unit. And at that time, it was quite hard to get back into the real estate industry. It
I
was
see.
also at that I had some experience. My dad owned a computer company, so I reached out to a friend, and we decided to start an IT company, and it grew really well. It was something that we, traded internationally, places like Europe, Singapore, et cetera, and had really, really enjoyed the work. There's nothing like owning your own company, which was great. But with any business, there are some challenges. And we were doing really well. And then it was a time where we both realized we were really highly educated, and it was going to be the best next step was going to be to go back and take advantage of our educational backgrounds and get involved in another capacity. And that's led me to where I am now as an appraiser analyst for Orange County, Florida. And I've been there for the last 5 years. Alhamdulillah.
What do you actually do? Maybe if you can give us a little bit more insight into like the appraisal industry. Why it's so important, and why you work for the county, and what the importance of that role is.
Sure. So, I think when you think of appraisal, there's two types of appraisals, or there could be more, but some of the ones are, if you're going to buy a home, the bank or yourself will probably get an appraisal. It's a value, an estimate of value from a professional as to what the house is worth or what the property is worth. So you can make a relevant offer, or in many cases, get a loan if needed, et cetera. For my purpose, it's a little bit different. I do it for ad valorem tax purposes, and specifically, we do it for mass appraisal, meaning I'm
I see.
not just valuing one piece of property. I'm doing, in fact, I'm in charge of about 50,000 parcels, so on any given tax year. And so what we do is we take large subdivisions, or single family residences, or where I'm right now, you sort of invite in, value entire residential condominium complexes. So entire complexes, we look at sales. You could look at different factors. You can look at cost analysis, income approach. It just depends. Majority of it is through the sales comparison approach. We sort of, value the real estate, looking at various different factors and different sources. And make sort of valuations, and then defend those valuations at a special magistrate hearing. So that's the bulk of the work. There's a lot of other tasks that are involved, but including, talking to constituents about their value, making different sort of, best educated valuations. It's more, they call it more of an art, because you've got to make a lot of judgments based
I
on a
see.
lot of factors. But it is something that you continue to evolve in. You do get some designations or sort of educational accreditations that you need to stay involved in the industry, especially with mass appraisal. If you're working for the county or any sort of public entity. So we have something by the IAAO.org, it's a sort of an organization that helps sort of help master your skill sets in the profession.
Yeah, you're telling me
So
about that.
yeah, so I have a residential evaluation specialist designation. It took a few years of study, you know, quite a lot of coursework, and it's sort of a designation. You take, you know, you go through a lot of different exams, an 8-hour exam, a 4-hour exam, take
an 8-hour exam.
Yeah. So I mean, then, think about eight different residential courses, varying from income valuation to regression analysis, different sort of subject matters. And then I'm also have I'm a certified Florida evaluator. And so those sort of designations help in terms of when you're talking to a constituent or a person who wants, you know, more idea of what you're doing or why you're defending the values. Yeah, alhamdulillah, it's been really, really good in terms of development. And yeah, I'm just really grateful. I really like the work. It's a good work-life balance. It's mass appraisal, so you're doing a lot. You're also leveraging technology. We work on a system called computer appraisal technology, which leverages through ProMap. So it's quite a lot of different technology hubs we use. Sort of get a geographic understanding of the valuations we're doing. We do some on-site valuations, travel to sites, you know, travel here and there if needed, work with different colleagues. So it's a really good established position, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, great. Okay. So I want to get soon into your community involvement, but just a question that I forgot to bring up. Why did you decide to pursue your MBA after undergrad?
Well, at that point, you know, you grow up your whole life, you know, you're going through middle school, high school, college, you know, you're getting accustomed to, you know, getting educated, taking classes,
right?
Sort of the school mentality. And after I had finished my undergrad, usually the more traditional path is, you know, you finish your undergrad, you know, get a little bit of work experience, and then go finish your, you know, go get, you know, your master's or PhD or whatever educational capacity you're interested in.
Yeah.
For me, I knew that once I left the educational sort of route, I wasn't going to be able to go back. It would be hard to just jump back in. You know, life moves pretty fast. So they had this early advantage MBA program that Kerman Graduate School of Business offered. It was on site. And it was something I just said, hey, you know, let's just take a shot at it.
Right.
And just, you know, continue with the educational route that I was doing. It turned out really great. You know, I learned a lot, you know, networked. A lot of different focused on harnessing my skill sets in finance, because I had concentrations in finance and international business, and really, really enjoyed the experience. It was definitely helpful in my career path.
So it was like a combined program with your undergrad?
It wasn't a combined program. It was a separate program. You had to, you know, typical MBA route, you had to finish GMATs.
Okay, okay.
You know, apply for it, you know, get accepted, things like that. So it was a little separate program. It was associated to the college, but it was a completely separate program.
I see. Okay. So let's maybe transition a little bit. And I wanted to talk about your community involvement. So as somewhat of a bridge, and I think we were also talking about this, how do you think that the skills you've learned in your career path apply to the work that you do in the community? And, you know, feel free also to discuss the specific work as well that you're doing.
Yeah, sure. I think, let's take maybe a slight nuance to the question before I answer the question. I think maybe that'll help. So, you know, when we're, you know, we get educated and we're seeking, it should be for the sake of God, first and foremost. And then the purpose of getting an education is you want to get an established career, right? You want to get educated, you want to find a good job or run a good company, and, you know, develop a sort of a sense of livelihood for you, your family, your dependents, whatever the different capacities are. So the function of income, let's look at that. You want a roof over your head, some transportation, you want to pay your monthly bills, whatever they are, may want to travel, So along those lines, so you sort of have those, you know, net needs. It gets to a point where, you know, okay, these are your needs and you're meeting your needs, but it shouldn't be the end all or do all. I really feel that if you're blessed with a really good education or have an established career, there's a sort of a give back that's a natural calling, or what you call fitra in Arabic. It's a sort of a nature that says, hey, you know, you need to give back because not everyone has this opportunity. You live on a planet that has approximately 8 billion people. Not everyone is afforded a college education or a master's education, or lives in a first world country with plenty of resources.
Right.
So what are you doing with that? How are you using your time? Is it just to serve yourself, which is one person in a planet of 8 billion? You're going to do something with it. So sort of those calling, you know, starts building within, and you say, okay, you know, I've sort of met a lot of these needs. Let me start developing myself. And some of the seeds are laid down by your parents. So, you know, depending on the locality of where you were raised or the things you were involved in. So you have some of those seeds, and it's just about employing a lot of those skill sets. And that's going back to your actual question, is that how did you translate it?
Yes.
Some of the skill sets was, you know, I think in my MBA, did a lot of presentations, or even in the workplace, you know, I done a lot of presentations, a lot of different travels, met a lot of different people, visited different cities.
Yes.
You know, I had to find expertise in different challenging environments, meeting new people, talking to people, you know, assessing situations really quick. And sort of that is a very important skill sets when you're also doing the nonprofit work, or sort of to help the community. You're trying to find solutions for problems that necessarily have not been spelled out by the community, meaning problems that you're identifying, you're trying to find solutions for, or in many cases, the framework is already built. It just needs someone who has the capacity. You know, there's so many people in the world who have amazing careers, super well educated, and have so many different skill sets. But it would be a shame if they didn't translate that skill sets other than for their own personal careers. I didn't want to be one of those people. So, you know, it started, you know, really reflecting on how my life is going, where I'm leading it, and how it's going to end. You know, we realize we're on Earth for a finite period of time. Many of us have lost loved ones. So what are we doing with it? So it's sort of my impetus as to why the focus on engaging the community and doing what's important.
So you talked about identifying problems that maybe people in the community have not yet identified. I was interested by that. So maybe can you make that a bit more concrete? Like, how did you go about that in the work that you've done so far?
Okay, sure. I think a big portion of the community work, I'll be very honest, was laid by those who preceded me. I was really honored. They had established frameworks that were really helpful. So I'll start with that before we jump into that question, and we'll promise to get to it.
Sure, yes.
So, you know, when it started as, you know, I think the early 2000s, you know, living in the Orlando community, youth engagement was the in thing. A lot of people who had the privilege to work with in youth groups. I had led a youth group for a few years in the local Islamic center. Really developed some leadership skills, sort of a really good fit to my personality, and, you know, the ability to take charge of situations and, you know, get, you know, to benefit people in the community. So we did a lot of different active work to keep youth engaged on the right path and giving them good outlets to spiritually grow, and that would help them grow both on an educational perspective for their own career growth, or you know, whether it be recreational activities, etc. So that was sort of the framework I started and then, you know, went ahead and started pursuing my career, you know, trying to fill those needs and establish a very well, a good career. And then subsequently after that, you know, projects started, you know, opening up. It started with whoishussein.org. They didn't have an Orlando chapter here. So that was probably something where you started, goes to finding or catering towards a need here. Who is Hussein is a worldwide organization that's based in London. And they hadn't done any work here in Orlando. My wife came up with this great idea and said, hey, we should bring it to the city of Orlando. And we started with one event at the park, and it led to another, to, you know, doing soup kitchens for 600 plus people and talking about Hussein, or talking about God, nearness to God, to complete scriptures. You know, there's an approach to it. You know, there's, you know, you have to first talk about their needs, their situation, empathize with them, and then, you know, bring conversations about God.
Sure.
Know, those personal, you know, those interpersonal skills and putting them to use and sort of taking it from there. And then, you know, after that, you know, it started building up to other other different projects, you know, I started with, whether it be, you know, looking at, started getting involved with outreach work in the local community. So we would meet a lot of different churches and different, you know, people of different faith backgrounds, whether it be Christian, Jewish.
So like interfaith workshops.
Yeah, interfaith work. So, had the ability to, you know, go to different, you know, whether it be, you know, educational universities or, you know, different places of worship as well, and talk about my faith in Islam, and, you know, sort of those like interfaith panels, things like that, you know, opportunities like that, you know, you don't necessarily plan for, but they open up. You're like, okay, great, let's do it. With obviously spiritual guidance, you know, you need to know what you're doing and why you're doing it, what you're talking about, and how to handle tough questions, you know. So, you know, you sort of get some good scholarly advice before you jump into those situations. So that was sort of outreach work. And then sort of things moved into where I, what I call where my heart really was. And it's truly, you don't really know it, but it was in the educational space.
Okay.
That's, so the community where I'm in from Orlando, they developed something called the Central Board of Education.
Yeah.
It's an established 501(c) that was embedded within the community, but it had its own framework. It had its own set of positions, its own separate budget, pretty large budget, and, you know, a set of guidelines, but it was like an open space where, the, you know, you've got a lot of autonomy, to do the right things for the community, to develop in an educational capacity. So this role oversaw the madrasa, it oversaw all different age demographics in the community. They had some projects that were done in the past, but this was a capacity to say, hey, you're in charge of developing the educational backgrounds of community members. We're talking from a young child to a senior adult.
So now, so this is not only like Sunday madrasa, Sunday school, it's like you're in charge of doing that, but also working on the education of the entire community. So what does that mean? Like, how do you target all those different people at the same time?
The best way to do that is by running multiple programs simultaneously to different age demographics. You're not going to have one program that's going to cater towards one specific demographic. I mean, towards all
everyone. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, we'd have, so I guess some of the, you know, programs, initiatives that were led, we did in a summer camp for ages, I think it was 4 to 13, had about 100 students. That was an initiative that was done the first year as the director of the Central Board of Education. We had a robotics camp for teenagers. We did, you know, mentorship program. So that was one of the other things that was for people who are either getting into professions or wanted to further their professions. So this was a career mentorship program that was under the director, as a director of the Central Board of Education, where you paired 15 members from the community who who had established careers in a variety of fields, from healthcare, mm-hmm. marketing, entrepreneurship, and other fields. And we paired them with 15 young, budding students, soon mm-hmm. to be professionals, who wanted to, you know, get their an insight on how to develop their careers. Many of us who have established careers, we've sort of had to pave the way with a lot of hardship and toil in getting, you know, learning what, you know, certifications or hmm. what experiences are needed to further our careers, right. by asking a lot of questions, but struggling through it, not knowing where to start from. And by the grace of God, we got there. But why not make it a little easier for that next generation? Hmm. Why not pair those who actually have made it and pair them with those in the community who are just very young? Why do they necessarily have to struggle? In there's always going to be struggle in life, but why not make it easier for them if that blessing is there? So we created this mentorship program with consultation of a lot of different individuals, and developed a program that for about a year. So the program okay. included grooming mentors, these, you know, on how to do a mentorship program, how to lead mm-hmm. a mentee, and then also finding mentees or that wanted to get this benefit from a mentor. So pairing them up. And once we paired them up, you know, we sort of had a different sort of, you know, networking events. One, we sort of had a breakfast for the mentors to tell mm-hmm. them what the expectations were, how to lead a mentorship program, and then sort of had a meet and greet a little bit in the middle of COVID. We had a meet and greet. This is after when things sort of were safe enough to meet yes. in person, and sort of had a way for each one of the mentors to talk a little bit about their bios, have a sort of a round table, what we call a speed networking, where we gave each mentor and a mentee each in every respective one, 5 minutes with each mentor, so they could get engaged of who they really wanted to work with.
Hmm.
You know, had different conversations about personal development and what the journey was, setting the expectation of the program. It was nonprofit, but we wanted each one to take it seriously. And with that event, we were able to pair everyone up as best as we could based on their preferences and what we could do to pair them up. And then had different, you know, sort of follow-ups during the course of that year to, you know, really get these mentees on a track for their careers.
No, I was just going to say, I find it incredible that you worked through all this in the midst of the last 2 years of craziness. So, yeah, maybe if you want to speak to that a little bit as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting story about that. So we do the groundwork. We have the mentors breakfast, and we go ahead and book a hall mm-hmm. for the networking dinner for the mentors and mentees. And then this is when really beginning of COVID, where nobody yeah. knows what it is. And, you know, you have to make judgment calls and say, hey, we're having this event. It's for, you know, about 35 people in a, you know, a rented hall. And then COVID struck, and we actually had to postpone it about 6 to 8 months, because at that point, you know, you don't want people getting COVID. That's the time exactly. where nobody knew what it was and nobody knew how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sort of put it on pause and actually officially started the program 8 months later.
Wow.
But it was worth the wait, you know, safety first. I think, you know, human life over a career progression is a very
easy. Of course.
So,
but I mean, it's great you didn't give up on it, you know, because sometimes a lot of things that got paused during COVID, they're now completely, yeah. you know, thrown by the wayside. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely, I guess that was part and parcel of being the director of the Central Board of Education. The first year was prior to COVID, and you had a mm-hmm. lot of programs on site, mm-hmm. parallel programs on Thursday nights for children who necessarily would have sort of focused learning while the lecture was going on, to all these types of activities on site, off site. You know, you're having all these different programs, and then you're having to go remote, but you right. still have to serve the community in a remote mm-hmm. capacity. So we had things like virtual chai chats, to, you know, having, you know, spotlights or doing like parenting spotlights on how to do parenting. So that was like a 2-month series. So we had to get creative as to what we were doing and why we were doing it in the early parts of COVID when everything was virtual. You still have a role. You still have a role to fulfill. You can't use COVID as an excuse.
No, of course.
It's a 3-year term. You want to make it count.
Oops.
So it was really good. And then it sort of segued into becoming the principal for IEC Academy, the Sunday Mother. So that was a huge honor. It was a time where we had to make a lot of critical decisions for the mothers that are working with an amazing number of people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I want to point out that, you know, my career route or in terms of with the community have been really blessed to work with an incredible amount of people. I've learned so much through them, working with them. You know, it's a community's, you know, vision or preparing for our 12th Imam and serving God, it's done interdependently. You're not going to be able to do it alone. There are so many different individuals with a lot of expertise, a lot of heart, a lot of soul. And when you work with them, it's the best feeling in the world. You know, whether it be finance, you know, how to handle, you know, student rosters, to how to handle the IT aspect of, you know, reporting student grades, to making strategic decisions as to where our mother is going to be. All those things, you work in a group and with scholarly advice. Alhamdulillah, you know, I have a really good friend here in Orlando. His name is Sayyid Hassan Rizvi. He's a resident alim here. I work hand in hand with him. So, you know, you have to get scholarly advice as you're walking through it. Otherwise, you definitely don't necessarily, you want to be careful that it's not a vision that it's not only your vision, but it's completely a God-centric, faith-centric vision. And you sort of need to get, you know, help to get that right, because you're also evolving as a human being. So someone with that background is really, really helpful throughout all that.
I think that point on vision is crucial as well. And when you were talking about the challenges you faced with COVID, I was thinking back to when you were talking about starting your business, because, you know, in those times of crisis, we're forced to innovate, but it's, you know, ends up being a blessing in disguise. So,
yeah.
Totally. So unfortunately we are, out of time. I kind of lost track of time, but I do want to get your final piece of advice. So, what is, if listeners take away just one thing from the show, what should it be?
If there's one piece of advice I say is that, you know, feel free to consult with members in the community to develop your career. Don't be afraid to talk to them. There are quite a few individuals who are willing to help you. You just have to, you know, talk to them. And the right door will open up. And once that door opens up, don't get caught in the rat race. Everybody is here in the United States, gets, you know, has to make a living, you know, has to put in a lot of hours, but make sure it's not the do all and end all. Make sure you find a road back to serving your community, whether it's while your career is there in any capacity. And if it's a role that's not existing, you can create it. Community members, a lot of different centers have, you know, they're just waiting for a talented, experienced individual to lead different initiatives to help the community. Don't turn your back on the community once you get the chance to grow.
Okay.
And pay it forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Hussein, for sharing your amazing story and joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Brother Ron. It was a pleasure.
Of course. And thank you, everyone, listeners, for tuning into the U-Mentor Talk Show. You can tune in again for our next interview when that's posted. And remember, you can catch all our previous episodes, a wealth of different professionals from all sorts of different industries and so much amazing advice on YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you again for listening. Umoja Outreach Foundation, uniting and empowering the Shia community.